Hello, good afternoon. How are you? It's me, Rona, calling with you as always. It's 3:30 and you know what that means. It's time for Perceptions. Lots of great things coming your way between now and 4:30. We've got Louise from Legless in Dublin who's just popped into the studio to say hey. And of course, we've also got Susie Byrne as well on the programme a little later on talking about all things disability related and how we can move forward as people with disabilities into 2015 and what needs to be done and the road ahead, really. It's all very exciting. It's the last show, so it's going to be emotional. I'll manage to hold it together, no doubt. But listen, it's Christmas, which is very exciting as well. There's tinsel all over the place. There's Christmas songs afloat. People are bouncing around the place doing Christmas shopping. So it's a time for celebration. Now, joining me in the studio, it's very exciting because I've got Louise Bruton, who has the most incredible blog called Legless and Dublin, and she joins me now live in the studio.
Hello,
how are you?
Not too bad, and yourself?
I'm good. Okay, so I'm always talking about your blog because it's, you know, it's brilliant and I absolutely love it. So Legless in Dublin, shall we say, or should I say, tell me about this brainchild and how it came to be in the first place.
Well, Legless is about a year old now, about a year and a half, and I just decided that it was something that I needed in my life because whenever I was researching which restaurants or accommodation I'd be booking, there just wasn't enough information online. Mm. And then a lot of websites they'd have is just a simple yes or no if it was wheelchair accessible, which isn't enough for people because disability comes in all shapes and sizes. So it's best to have a more of a detailed thing, but also to provide information as to whether the food is good or if it's a music venue, if the platform is actually any use. So it gives a bit more level, and I like to put a bit of humour in there just to give it a kick.
You definitely do. And you've written about a multitude of different topics on it. I mean, I was looking at it again yesterday and I was going through some of the old blogs that you've written. And you're right, you use humour in it a lot, but one in particular really caught my eye where you were talking about disability and dating. Now, when you and I spoke the last time via phone, and we'd never even met at that point, we were talking about when somebody asks you when you have a disability, because we're both wheelchair users, if you're dating, that it's a very loaded question, because it can be. So what was the impetus for you writing that article, and what was that about?
Well, I've noticed that whenever I'm brought on for TV or radio interviews, one of the big questions is always whether or not I'm single. And when they ask that question, it's because, are you single because you're in a wheelchair, or are you in a relationship and isn't the fella an awful martyr to be with you? That seems to be kind of the direction they're going with. So I was asked to come on air last week with another radio show where a girl had emailed in saying that she had met a guy on Tinder, which is a dating app, and they were getting on very well when they were messaging each other back and forth, and they'd agreed to go on a date. When he then decided to tell her, he's like, look, you should probably know that I am in a wheelchair. So this girl emailed in this radio show and asked, she's like, I was very nervous about this and I thought I was a very open-minded person, but I suddenly realised that I wasn't. I went on the date, but I was intentionally late because I didn't want to see if he'd have any problems with getting into the door or finding a table that suited him. He's really nice, really good looking, we had loads to chat about, but I don't really want to go on a second date with him. Like, that was the general gist. So when I was prepping to go on air, I just found all these ideas kind of building up, and I had like a low level of rage because that's a very annoying perspective for someone to have. This guy was good looking, funny, easy to chat to. That's a holy trinity that you can't deny if you're going on a date with someone.
It's kind of all the pluses, really. Yeah, you know, it's what you look for.
But then she was just letting one thing stop herself from enjoying this date, and one thing stopping her from getting to know this guy properly, and that was the fact that he was in a wheelchair. So she not only denied herself having a great time with someone lovely, she denied him being able to just show him from himself. So it was
for who he is.
Exactly. So I just thought that was just an attitude that I've come across a lot, and I'm kind of sick of it, because if anyone knows you, and I know a lot of my friends, they say, well, we don't think of the chair. The chair just isn't what comes with you. The only time we think about it is when we have to lift you up a flight of stairs, which we're not happy about, but we do it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just a funny block that a lot of people have.
It's interesting though if you're doing that, the whole internet dating thing, because and I've done internet dating myself. I mean, I've tried loads of different things, and currently at the moment I'm not seeing somebody, but I've dated both people with and without disabilities, and there have been times where I haven't dated somebody for a long period of time, and then I've had long term relationships as well, like everybody else, you know, there's highs and lows with everything. But when you're internet dating, there's always that point of you wonder when you should divulge that piece of information, and I've had many discussions with friends about it who've tried internet dating as well, wanted your input about this as well, and some people put it on their profile that they have a disability and they use a wheelchair, some people don't, and I just kind of wanted to know your thoughts about that.
Well, my photos don't hide anything, so you can see that I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I don't say it because it's plain to see from my photos. But a couple of lads would have brought it up. It'd be maybe their first or second question. And some people, they just cut communication almost immediately. Mm. Others are fine and they move on to it. And then, yeah, it's just kind of funny. It's a great way to kind of cut out the bad people from the good.
It kind of is though, isn't it?
But it's just very annoying, because if you're maybe to meet these people organically through other friends or just on a night out or whatever, it mightn't be an issue. But because online dating, it is quite a superficial thing. Like, you find yourself picking on things that you wouldn't pick on in real life.
Or you find that somebody's asking you questions, you know, because they're hiding basically behind a computer screen, that they feel they're entitled to ask you X, Y and Z, which if they were standing in front of you, they would never be asking those kinds of questions. So, it has its positives, and it has its negatives as well. So what was the outcome from that conversation with the girl and the guy? Do you know anymore if they went on a second date or?
I don't know, actually. She was an anonymous email her in, if you can be anonymous via email, but I think the general attitude then afterwards was like that she was wondering if she should give him a second chance, and my overall opinion was like, should he even bother giving you a second chance? And then I was surprised then by the amount of people texting in and tweeting in, and afterwards they were like, yeah, absolutely, why should he give you another chance?
But I wonder though, I'm just playing devil's advocate, I wonder if that girl had never gone on a date with a guy and just heard of this scenario, because she said she thought she was quite open-minded, I'm sure she probably would have thought, oh, that's a terrible thing for that other girl to do to a guy, I would never do that. And it's only really when you're in the situation that you can really tell how you're going to react in it, really. But to say the fact that they had had quite good banter all along, she would have gotten a really good sense of the guy before he told her this. Because, as I say, there's always that conversation about where you should divulge if it's not obvious, you know, if your wheelchair isn't in the photographs, when you should say that you're a wheelchair user or not, or whether it's another type of disability, you know, visually impaired, etc. So my own personal view on it is that, you know, I think, you know, should he even be giving her a second chance, or would he even be thinking about it, would be my take on it. But I suppose maybe if he really likes her, or she really likes him, sure, I suppose the chemistry has to be there too. But I just thought it was an interesting conversation, and it is a very loaded question and a loaded conversation, and I thought we do need to address it, and I'm glad that you brought it up in your blog. Have you done internet dating?
I have Tinder, which is just a good way to kill the time if you're waiting for the bus. Just casting all these guys into a pile.
And how has been your experience? That was very backwards, weird way of asking.
Mostly positive. Like, again, as I said, some guys, when they realise, when they've like actually examined your photo and they ask, oh, are you in a wheelchair? It's kind of a funny conversation, because I just want to be like, yes, that's it, move on to the next point. But then a lot of people just, they kind of find a stammering point there where they want to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, give you sympathy. Or they want to be that kind of lend an ear and be like, tell me all your problems. It's just a funny, it'd be nice if you could just address it, accept it and then move on.
Yeah, but that's because you've accepted it and you've moved on. But the person that is just new to the information, they're just like, you're in a wheelchair and you're a survivor, aren't you great? And you, so that's going off into a totally different kind of conversation, and then you get the usual "she God love us" response. But you don't get that from every person, I think it's probably fair to say. And then it separates the people who are not even worth your time, who'll just cut off conversation immediately. So it does separate that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, as I say, I've done the whole internet dating thing myself, and I've had quite some success with the two. Met somebody really nice, actually, a couple of years ago, and we dated for a while, for a good amount of time, and got on great. And then, you know, naturally fizzled out, as things do from time to time. But I've experienced my certain level of interesting characters on the different internet dating sites as well. So what are you up to now with your next blog?
Oh, I'm trying to figure that out at the moment. I'm working at the moment I'm doing a TEDx DCU talk in February.
Wonderful.
So I'm kind of working on that, and it's kind of my main goal with that is to make disability a mainstream issue, but not in a very over-in-your-face way, just a very natural tying, just to narrow the gap between them and us.
Yeah, and the them and us thing is something that I don't get, because there is no them and us. We're all on the planet together. We're all here to have a similar experience, our own experiences, and individually. So I've never really bought into the whole them and us vibe anyway, so I'm maybe interested to see what you come up with next. And also, the other interesting blog that you wrote recently is about being fitted for a new chair.
Yeah,
that was interesting. That was a very I read that and I was just, you know, the way you have such lovely humour in your blogs that sometimes I'm crying with laughter, because I can really relate to what you're saying. But it's, even if you didn't have a disability, it wouldn't matter, because you're very funny, and the way you write it is incredibly interesting. So tell me a bit about that, and what was the thinking around that?
Well, I'm only on my second wheelchair now ever. So I've started using the wheelchair 3 years ago. So now this is the first wheelchair. They just gave me whatever. I didn't really know what I needed.
Lovely.
Yeah.
That was a fun experience, I'd say.
Definitely. So then kind of when you get to using a wheelchair, you know what's wrong, but you don't know exactly what's right either. So when I was being fitted out for this wheelchair, which I'm in today, I just knew that I needed something that survives, because I go to a lot of music festivals, so I needed something that survives kind of rough terrain. I also need something light that I can lift in and out of the car, and that's just about all I knew that I needed. But there's so many other blanks that you need to fit in, kind of like how high your knees need to be, or how upright does your back need to be, just all these other bits.
What way do you want your brakes? Do you want handles? Do you not want handles? Do you want spokes? Do you not want spokes? Do you want them, semi-solid, solid, or tubeless? There's so many things that you can do.
Yeah, so you're just given this big list of things, and you don't really know what any of this means until you get to using it, because it's a physical thing. You can't just check it off a list. So my main thing is, and I'm fighting for it, is I want armrests that I can sit on, because when I go to concerts, I need to see up a little bit higher than everybody else.
So you're sitting on the armrests.
I'm sitting on the armrests, yeah.
Of course, OTs are having a little nervous breakdown about that concept, and yeah, you shouldn't be doing that now.
Yeah.
But you're like, everybody does.
Everybody does it, because I'd be quite mobile myself in my way, so I kind of half stand. I can half stand, so it's not like I'm putting literally all of my weight onto it, but that's my main thing now. So they've tested me out with these kind of mud guards, and I'm like, no, this is wrong. I can list out about 5-6 things that are wrong with it, like my coat is getting filthy from my tires because I don't have anything to hold it in. And then they say, well, maybe get a different coat, and I'm like, well, no, I've bought my coat, that's the decision I've made. So
The chair needs to work with me, not me work the other way around. It needs to suit you and your lifestyle and what you need and want. That's the point of it.
Yeah, so when you're being fitted in this way, literally being measured by the centimetre, and you're looking in your reflection, and you're just, you, when you're focusing that much on the wheelchair, it's a funny feeling. It just kind of hit me in the chest that day when I was ticking everything off the list. I was just like, oh yeah, that the wheelchair is definitely there. It was a funny reminder, even though I didn't really need reminding.
Yeah. How do you mean hit you in the chest?
It's a big admittance, I suppose, when you are fitting out for a wheelchair, that this is a permanent part of your life now. This is a permanent part of your body. Mm. And when you know what's wrong and you're trying to make it right, it's just, it kind of plays at your emotions a little bit.
Mm. How are you now?
I'm okay. Still trying to fight for the armrests, but yeah.
I have no doubt you'll get there. Yeah. I was smiling when I read that because I remember going to gigs and I have a terrible habit when I have a couple of drinks that I sit on the wheel. So I hop up on the side on the wheel, and I have a tendency to think of it like a fence.
Oh, yeah.
So one leg will be dangling down over the wheel and my other leg will be in the wheelchair. So I'm actually like propped up on the wheel. And so my friends are like, could you sit back down? And I'm like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, I'm just kind of going with the sway of the music and in the moment. So you made me smile when I was when you were speaking about the side guards and the armrests. I've no doubt you'll win that fight. So Louise, if somebody is thinking about doing internet dating and they're a wheelchair user, what would your top three tips for them be?
I'd say, don't hide any elements of yourself. Like, don't be afraid. Don't be picking photos that make it look like you're not what you are. Just be very honest about who you are. And if you want to mention that you're in a wheelchair, if you have a disability in your profile, that's absolutely fine. Go with it. And then another thing is, if someone asks you, I always say, if someone asks you an honest question, give them an honest answer. Mm. So if they do ask you what's happened, what's your story, say what happened, but then don't drag it out. Just kind of cut it out quickly. Mm. And then if people give a good bad reaction, then cut them loose. There's no point in trying to. Dating itself is hard, no matter what your position is in life.
Mm.
And we're all trying to prove ourselves in a way, but people with disabilities shouldn't have to go above board proving that they're worth someone else's time. So I'd say just let them take it what you are, and hopefully you'll get the shift.
Do you know something? You're right. I love, even liked the way you said that. You know, a person with a disability should never have to go the extra mile to prove that they're worth somebody's time.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, if somebody is worth your time and you're interested in them, then they're worth your time. If they're not willing to give you their time because you happen to be sitting on a chair, they're really not worth the effort, and they're certainly not worth the energy. So don't pretend to be something that you're not. Call it straight, as if you're asked a straight question, then answer it. But equally too, I think in the same vein, if somebody isn't up for it and they just can't cope and they're being straight about it, well, that's fair enough too, because they're calling it as they see it too. That's just my own view about it. And you don't really want to be around somebody who's like that anyway. I certainly wouldn't want to. If somebody has an issue with me because of what I'm sitting on, that's kind of their issue, not really mine, you know. So, Louise, it's been lovely talking to you. I could actually spend, we were just saying this, I could actually spend all day talking to you because you're just fascinating to talk to. So thank you for being part of the last show. I'm delighted that you came in and took the time to come in. So thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you. Delighted to have come in.
Yeah, it was great to meet you in person too. And no doubt we'll be talking again soon. So my thanks to Louise. Take care, Louise. And I'll speak to you very, very soon. Well, Louise is just about to leave the studio. And of course, I have to let you know that Legless in Dublin is definitely a blog worth checking out. If you're a wheelchair user or you have any other type of disability and you're just interested in good old sense of humour and an interesting perspective on disability issues, you should definitely check Louise's blog out, because I promise you'll just be laughing your head off. And it's really informative, as well as being very, very funny and very, very entertaining. Now, lots of great things to still come on the show between now and 4:30. Of course, it's the last show with you. I've had a wonderful time for the last couple of months, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Now, joining me by phone, I have disability activist and just all round great super lady, Susie Byrne. She joins me now by phone. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Rona. How are you? Can I wish you a happy Christmas?
Merry Christmas. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all.
Good. It's lovely to be talking to you. It's a very, very exciting time and an interesting time, should I say, highs and lows around disability at the moment. What are your thoughts?
If we're reflecting on 2014, at the end of 2014, given, I suppose, what people are aware of in the last week and what the revelations in regard to, you know, RS attraction residential settings, I suppose there are a lot of people wondering where are we at all in terms of supporting people with disabilities. a few things that come to mind is that the assisted decision-making bill is still in its first very early stage in the Dáil for debate.
Yeah.
And there still needs to be significant amendments. And I think the Minister, Cathy Lynch, has said that there will be amendments. But, you know, there's an awful long delay in this bill coming in. The government say that we need to have this bill enacted before we can ratify the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities.
Which has, to be fair, that has been talked about for so many years. It's unbelievable. It's hard to believe that hasn't been ratified yet. Why do you think so many delays are happening with this, Susie?
Because they say that we need the capacity legislation to be enacted beforehand. Now, other countries would ratify the convention and then change the laws afterwards. Irish approaches to UN conventions has always been get your house in order before you ratify.
Mm.
But if the delay is huge, and if we look at the 2005 Disability Act and how it doesn't give us the right to, have rights, just to put it as simply as that.
It's true.
We have no rights as people with disabilities to have our rights respected.
Mm.
And that goes, I suppose, it indicates where our standing is as citizens in society.
Well, you're right, because that hasn't been ratified and because it hasn't been taken care of yet, people with disabilities rights are very, very flimsy and a little bit all over the place, and we really don't have our rights being met properly at all.
No, and there's lots of things like, the right to a service that supports you, the right to independent living, and that's a very wide term.
Mm.
It just means, for me, freedom of choice, not about where you live, but the choice to live where you wish to be supported in doing what you want to do, to be cared for your welfare, to be respected, to be free from abuse, those sorts of things. Those rights have not been signed up to by the government, not just this government, previous governments. This is not poking the finger at one particular administration.
Mm.
I think
when people start hearing about disability and when the government start thinking about disability, they kind of go, here are the disabled people. No, they're banging on again about this, that and the other. And we always seem to be very, very low down in the list of priorities. What do you think people with disabilities need to do to make sure that our voices are being more heard and that we're more out there in public for 2015? What do you think people need to be doing?
I think we need to get organised and be seen in terms of, don't allow people to say no. Go to politicians and raise the issues, not just personal issues, but, political issues, overall issues that affect everybody.
Mm.
Just go with your own issue around a medical card or a housing issue or whatever.
Mm.
That's been dealt with and then it goes away. But there are bigger issues around rights and respect and services.
Yep.
And how they're organised and delivered, that we need to make politicians and administrators aware that people aren't happy and that they want better and they want their rights respected. And what we've seen over the last, 7 years in particular, is people just campaigning for the bare minimum against the cuts.
Yeah.
We need to do more than that, and we've become very confined to being called the most vulnerable.
And it's interesting because I think you're right. I think for the last couple of years, people have just been, campaigning to make sure that things, the most basic of things, haven't been pulled away. And if they have, to try and get them reinstated. The PA services is a very good example of that. Because they've had to, and because they're trying to keep on to the most basic of things, never mind talking about getting the same as, you're just trying to get the services that are basic in need in place and staying still, and rather than having those being pulled apart. Moving on to the bigger picture, moving forward for 2015, as you say, people need to be out and about a bit more loud and proud and have their voices heard and speaking directly to politicians. It's about the independent living movement. It's about having choice. It's about having the same rights as everybody else. I think people are of the opinion. It's always been that way, from what I've heard of, and when people talk about disability rights, who are not disabled, the kind of thing people with disabilities want more than anybody else, or special or parental treatment. But they don't. People with disabilities want the same rights as everybody else.
I think we need to speak out, and we need to tell people. We need to tell the story in our own way, and not just respond to the most vulnerable, most needy sort of responses. We need to actually point out that there are people living in nursing homes that don't need to live there.
Yeah.
And the general public,
which is costing a fortune, by the way.
That. Yes, and would cost much for many people. With the appropriate supports, would cost much less for them to be living in social housing with hours of PA support.
Sure, that's a no-brainer. It's a complete and total no-brainer. If a person is living in a setting, in a hospital setting, and they don't need to be, if they had the right supports in place and they were living part of the community in their own home, they're an integral part of the community. Yeah. And that's just good for their well-being and the well-being of everybody else, and better for the government
pocket.
Big
danger that there is money going to be made available in 2015 to cope with delayed discharges in hospitals. And the worry is that the easiest response will be looked for there, which is to move people into nursing homes, because those places will become available.
Mm.
Do you know, rather than actually looking at what the best practice should be.
Of course. And
what the person actually wants. You know?
And living in the community, in housing, that in an area that you want to live in a certain area, rather than just being dictated and told, well, this is where the housing is available and you're part of the community with no supports in place. Because, of course, you don't want people living in the community that are feeling isolated either. They need to be an integral part of the community and feeling part of.
I think many people who don't have a disability would respond really positively to that. You know, we're all supposed to be part of each other's community and building that, you know?
Of course.
So
I think it's, you know, I don't, myself and Louise from Legless in Dublin were just talking about that just before we spoke, Susie. We're saying, you know, I don't really get this whole them and us, you know, able-bodied and disabled difference, because, you know,
and people have relatives, you know, and friends and family members who have a disability.
Yeah.
People go to school and college with people with disabilities now.
Yeah. It's the norm.
It's there in everybody's life, and I think there's a general sense of decency in the population that we'll stick up and we'll express solidarity with people, and we'll want to see and engage with people in their communities, and we'll not want to see people institutionalised.
Yeah.
And I think people, when they see programmes last week, you know, they're going, I didn't think that happened anymore. And whereas we know there are 3,700 people who are living in places where they don't have access to the community as much, you know, and who are being cared for and who should be active in the community. There are also many people living at home with families who don't have the supports to get out in bed and do stuff. And they're being told, well, you can have a business this day, service here, or, you know, there's nothing else we can do, or, you know, and people's expectations should be the same as their brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
To work if they're able to live where they need to, you know, and be supported to do so. And I think we can do a lot as people with disabilities to talk about what we want.
And not just talk about the basics and trying to hold on to, as you said earlier, trying to just hold on to the things that we're already entitled to. But we should have great expectations for ourselves. We shouldn't be diminishing our light or our spirit because, you know, our brothers and sisters have their own home and they're in college or they're working. But everybody has that expectation, and that should be the general consensus.
Yeah, and where people aren't able to speak up for themselves, they should be supported to do so.
Always.
And that's the other thing. So don't take away people's voices. They can do it themselves. But if they can't, then they should be supported to do so. And not just in a best interest way, but in a way that supports their will and preference.
Yeah, it's about supporting
that they have full and enjoyable lives, you know?
Yeah, it's about supporting their choice and their right and because it's the same rate as everybody else, why wouldn't it be? So what do you think the government needs to do moving forward into 2015?
We need an action plan that's actually going to produce some results, not any more reports or investigations. we need the commitments in the government, the programme for government NEST, which was around individual budgets, bringing in the assisted capacity legislation, ratifying the convention. We need to know what are the other barriers to having the convention ratified, because there is other laws that need changing, but we don't know what the list of those laws is yet.
Yeah, it's sort of the ratification seems to be being put on the long finger all of the time. I mean, as long as I'm working in the disability sector, and even long before that, that's always been a kind of a bit of a bugbear. You know, it's never really been addressed. There's always been other areas that has been stopping
it. We also need to disability proof all areas of government policy. So, you know, the issues that are being talked about generally at the moment, which is about employment, about housing. Homelessness. There's a disability aspect to all of those issues. But the responses that you hear about are not about people with disabilities, about everybody else. So we need to have all of those areas of government policy disability proofed and action plans, not just written, but actioned.
yeah.
On all of them as well, you know.
Because everybody wants to work and wants their own place to live and wants to be in college and wants the sports and all of those things. And they are things that need to be addressed within government around, specifically around disability within each of those areas, because they're not going away. You know, they're issues that need to be addressed. What do you think were some of the good highlights around disability for 2014, Susie, as we look back on 2014, really?
I think the thing that really calls out to me is self-advocacy in the area of intellectual disability in particular. That we've seen a lot of people speaking out on issues and starting to, you know, come together to talk about what they want. Things like Sanctuary, the play, and Galway raising issues around relationships and sexuality. I saw a video yesterday of a group of people in Monaghan who have come together to do actions in relation to parking and badges and rights for people with disabilities to park. And I just thought they worked with the local county council on it. I just thought that's a great little action.
That's fantastic.
That's been replicated around the place. You know, that people are doing stuff in local councils on access and rights and starting to educate themselves. There's a lot of peer support starting. They're the good things, you know, and hopefully out of those little acorns, great trees will grow.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then we'll see people, you know, coming together to demand their rights, nothing more than your rights, you know, that's what people are looking for.
Yeah, it's about the same as, not more than. Susie, thank you very, very much for being my last guest on the programme. It's delightful talking to you as always, and a real pleasure, and I'm delighted you were the last guest and the last person I was talking to.
Rona, congratulations to you and everybody that's been involved in the programme. It's been really great, a huge variety, and also much needed in terms of getting people's voices out there and the wide variety of guests that you've had.
Thank you very, very much, Susie. Much appreciated. I will speak to you very, very soon, no doubt. So take care. Thanks, Susie.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was Susie Byrne, their disability advocate for many years now, and will always continue to do so, because she's just, you know what, she's a powerhouse in her own right. And I like being surrounded by really strong, fabulous women like Louise and like Susie, and it was an absolute joy to have them both on the programme today. If you are a person with a disability and you feel your rights are not being met and you are feeling at home and you're slightly frustrated and annoyed and feeling like my need is not being met, have your voice heard. Get involved with some disability organisation. Write to your local politicians. Make noise. Get your spoke out there. It is worth it. It is your right. It's your choice also. And that's what this programme has been about. That's why GDIL and I set up this programme in February. It has been my absolute pleasure and my absolute honour to be with you for the last couple of months. I hope you've enjoyed the show and hearing the show as much as I've enjoyed producing it for you. I must thank everybody in Near FM, to all the staff, for being so supportive of me when I came to them in November and asked them if they were interested in me doing a disability awareness programme for them with GDIL, with the Support of Greater Dublin Independent Living, who I'm a support worker for, and they were all for it. And I'm always a believer in linking community groups and community agencies up with each other as well. Because you know what? Together we are stronger and we have each other's back and we have each other's voices. Because you know what? We're all on the planet together and we're all here to support each other. So I have to thank everybody in Near FM, all the staff, all the volunteers for all their support to me and to GDIL over the last couple of months. Of course, I want to thank the board as well of Greater Dublin Independent Living, because they've been very supportive of this programme as well. And it's been my absolute delight and my pleasure to bring the programme to you every Tuesday. Also, I have to thank all the guests who've been on the programme for the last number of months. It's been a huge variety and a huge array of different people on the programme. And my thank you to all of them, because they've been fantastic and they've made the show worthwhile, and their input has made the programme more fruitful and informative, and has no doubt supported so many people listening to the programme every week. And of course, I have to thank everybody who's been listening for the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months as well, since last February, since the programme started on the 19th of February. So thank you to everybody who's been listening for the last couple of months, who's really enjoyed the show. Anybody who's ever texted or messages on Facebook or any nice comments, much appreciated. And if we've done anything to support anybody over the last couple of months, you know what? It's been all worthwhile. And I really do genuinely hope that you will get out there as a person with a disability, or a friend of a person with a disability, or a family member of a person with a disability, and get the conversations going with politicians. Get involved with your local agencies, whoever they are, whatever your interest is. But just be out there, be loud, be proud of who you are. Don't hide behind anything. You shouldn't have to. Because it's about equality for everybody, and speak to your local politicians about having your rights met, because it's about equality for everybody, not just for some people. It's about equality for us all. I will bid you adieu. I will talk to you again somewhere down the road, no doubt. I'm sure I will be on the airways again with you at some point down the road. But in the meantime, have a gorgeous Christmas. I wish you all that you wish for yourself for 2015. And thank you very much. It's been my pleasure being with you for the last couple of months. Rona Coughlin is my name, and I will talk to you all again soon. Have a gorgeous Christmas and take care. Bye-bye.